This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
I am inevitable.
That's Thanos, a.k.a. Nick Friedel, in studio all week. Joe Spadoni here. We're halfway home here on this Thursday in the Bay. It's beautiful. The sun is out. The sun is shining, Nick Friedel. Nick Friedel comes to the Bay Area. He flies in. The sun comes out. Look at that.
That's all it takes, Mr. Spadoni. I can't wait to go see another neighborhood I didn't get to get to view much while I actually lived out here.
Where are you going next? Marina? Where are you going? Going to Carter's Neck?
Come on now. The one place I have seen a few times and lived in is the Marina, baby.
There you go. I'm not mad at that.
Get a little Brazen Head action late
sure.
at night.
You Absolutely.
Know. Let's nice.
Go. Yeah, Carter's all in on that. I'm going to nod and agree like I know what you guys are talking about. Good morning to all of you. Just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school, whatever it is. If you're having a four-day weekend, if you're just going to say, you know what, I'm out today. I'm out. You know what? I'm using a sick day. I'm using a personal day. I'm out. And you're checking out us on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. We appreciate it. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online. Or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. So, yeah, the breaking news right now, it's all over. It's Bobby Portis suspended 25 games for violating the anti-drug policy. That per Shams Charania of ESPN. Is it Shams or Shams, by the
Shams.
Way? Shams. It is Shams. Okay. Because I always get, it's one of those where it's just like, I don't know. But you're tight with him, as we know. Get the drop. There you go. Him, his boy, Shams. Shams, excuse me. But we're talking about, you know, the Niners. We're talking about Debo. We're talking about Dre Greenlaw. We talk Fred Warner, Purdy, and vibes around the team. Just not where they need to be right now. But the vibes at the Golden State Warriors are getting better, and they're increasing. Why? Well, the addition of Jimmy Butler, but also this update from Warriors PR yesterday, Nick Friedel. Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga, who suffered a sprained right ankle on January 4th versus Memphis and has missed the last 21 games, returned to team practice yesterday at Chase Center for the first time since sustaining the injury. His return to game action will be based on his continued progress and physical readiness. JK could not have come at a better time, Nick Friedel.
He's on the way. That is always a tell from a PR staff that we're only a couple more steps from a few more practices usually to get him back on the floor. Spadone, obviously the Warriors are going to be more cautious because he has been out so long. But we'd all agree, with Kuminga out there on the floor, it brings a different dimension to this Warriors group. What I am so interested in as the practices start up again and as Kuminga starts to feel better on that ankle, How does he fit alongside Jimmy Butler? So much of the last couple weeks has been, well, Jimmy fits. We know he can get to the line. He's the yin to Steph's yang as far as offense. They can both create their shots. Kuminga was playing very well before he got hurt, but Kuminga was playing on a team without Jimmy Butler, and at times, because of where Steph and Draymond were, he had to carry a lot of the offensive load in certain games. How does he fit in, knowing what's on the line for him, not only the rest of this year, going into the summer, and hoping that he gets that next contract deal?
It's also that. It's also the adjustment from all these players, right, that have been now, you know, you have the addition. I'm thinking about guys like on the fringes that are going to be important pieces going forward, though. A guy like a Brandon Pajemski, a guy like a Moses Moody, Quentin Post at times, right? Buddy Hield, like, the minute allocation and their roles on this team now. So not only do you make a huge trade for Jimmy Butler to bring him in, and the amount of minutes he's going to get and the amount of attention he's going to garner, but now you bring Jonathan Kuminga back into the fold. So how are things going to change there? That's up to Steve Kerr, the head coach. And so I look at Steve, and maybe he does have the biggest adjustment. You know, if we go outside of the players, it's Steve trying to figure out this Tetris puzzle, this Rubik's Cube, if you will, this, as we've been talking, just finding out what fits and what doesn't. And, you know, we were talking to Tim Hardaway earlier in the week, Hall of Famer, obviously a Warriors and Heat legend. And, you know, we were asking about, you know, how does, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, you know, integrate himself into this new lineup? Just play, just be yourself. Play who you are. Be who you are. Just go out there and be Jonathan Kuminga. Is Jonathan Kuminga going to have to play differently at all, do you think, Nick, when he does come back out there? Or is it as simple as Tim Hardaway puts and says, just play your game? Is it just putting your head down, getting to the line, being aggressive, trying to attack the glass? Again, his three-point shot, I think when it's in rhythm and it's a quick pass, hey, pull up, great. If he has to think about it and he has to, you know, just to take a quick one or two dribbles, it's usually not going in. I do think his mid-range game is underrated. I think he can get to a shot. He's a big, athletic guy. He can get to that shot, that Wiggins, that Jimmy Butler type of mid-range shot. He has that in his arsenal. But is it as simple as saying, you know what, JK comes back, and he just needs to be who he was prior to the injury?
It's very simple in theory, Spadone, that if you're Kuminga, yeah, I'll just play the way I was playing. But as we know, it wasn't the same personnel out there on the floor. What I'm curious about for Steve Kerr and that coaching staff is, how do you get a young player like Kuminga, who was having so much success in various doses before that injury, to play at a level where he's not trying to press too hard to fit back in? On top of, we know what that contract extension potentially could be over the summer. We know what he wants and what his agent wants moving forward. But how do you get a young player to stop thinking about that going into the stretch drive of the year? This is where the mindset of Jonathan Kuminga becomes most important to me for anything that the Warriors do. If he's pressing too much and he's saying, I got to put up my numbers, I have to try and stand out a little bit in this star-studded group now with Jimmy Butler, if he presses, that could spell a lot of messy lineup combinations and rotation sets for Kerr and his staff. If Kuminga comes out and just says, I'm going to fit in for the best of the group, my time and my money will come, well, then the Warriors are going to be set up not only to make potentially a solid playoff run into the summer, Kuminga will get paid, and if they believe that he can be the guy that they hope he can be, I'll tell you exactly who will sign off on it. It'll be Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and now, because of his standing in the league and the fact that the Warriors just paid him some big, big money for the next couple years, it'll be Jimmy Butler as well.
Brian Geltzeiler, Sirius XM NBA Radio, joined Steiny and Goo yesterday. Geltzy, on Jonathan Kuminga's return, he thinks it's going to be a godsend, Nick.
But I'll also say this, when Kuminga comes back, he's going to be a godsend, because the one other element they're missing is that uber-athletic guy, and I think Jonathan Kuminga can absolutely be that. And Kuminga with not having to be a lead guy and just kind of having what he gives you be extra and be gravy, and knowing that if he's not playing great, you have the luxury of sitting him down. That's the perfect scenario for Jonathan Kuminga 2025.
And that's the tricky part, as you just alluded to. It's like, yeah, it's easy for one aspect to say, hey, the load's going to be lessened off him. He doesn't need to be that number two scorer for this team going forward because he got Jimmy Butler. But if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, don't I like being the second leading scorer? Because that's something my agent's going to use in negotiations. That's something I'm going to say. Like, listen, when I was out there with Steph, when I was the number two guy, I was producing. Well, you bumped me down to the three guy, you reduced my minutes. Why do you think I'm not producing as much? So it goes back to the contract negotiations always with this stuff. And we're projecting a little bit here. But for the here and now, like, I agree with Gal Seiler. You have an older team, an older trio in Steph, Dre, and Jimmy. You need, especially in the Western Conference, as we were talking about getting our head over our heels when it comes to championship aspirations, right? Mm-hmm. You just think of the West, it is young, it is fast, it is big. What is Jonathan Kuminga? All of those things.
Check, check, check.
You need all of those. And that's what some of those guys lack on your team. Yes, Steph can still be quicker than most. He can still get his shot off. He could still be that guy offensively. Defensively, you know what you're getting, you're not getting much. Jimmy Butler, he's very strong. He is big. Quickness, not as much, right?
The defense that is still very good isn't to the level it used to be even a couple years ago in Miami.
And I'd say the same with Draymond Green. Big guy, big body still, great defensively at times, not as consistent, can still be a good ball handler and a playmaker, and his shot will go down occasionally, but he's not a traditional scorer. So I'm going to need Jonathan Kuminga to be that guy that can pick up all the weaknesses of those big three now that we're calling it, that can he be that guy to pick up where those guys are now leaving off at that end of the table?
I think he can. I think he can fill in some of the gaps the same way Jimmy did for this group, Spadone, but it is interesting in the contract negotiation context, because what was the story that came out last year? Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr aren't on the same page.
Yeah.
And historically in the league, usually that's coming from an agent somewhere trying to push their client's best interests, or what they believe to be their best interest, to the forefront. The issue for the Warriors is now you're closer to those contract negotiations. You've got to figure out if Kuminga is a piece that you want to continue to build around for your franchise or potentially put him in some kind of sign and trade. I am intrigued by the idea that Kuminga is needed on this team for them to be at their best. But in order to be at their best, he might have to make a personal sacrifice where he's not putting up those numbers every night that he would want to. Is he at the place in his career where he feels comfortable doing that? The greater good of the team over the good of oneself at a time when it behooves a young player to put up those numbers that you're talking about and get those extra minutes. If Kuminga can do that, I think it'll go a long way for goodwill towards his feelings about the Warriors and the Warriors' feelings about him.
He's still only 22, which is insane. He's still so young in regards to, and he was so raw when he came out of the G League Ignite, right? And we've been talking about this in the, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? It'll hit me in a second, but you talk about him as a player coming out, and you have the more polished Moses Moody, obviously, from Arkansas. He was one and done, but he was an old soul. And you keep talking about potential, right? That's the word I wanted to say. Potential with Jonathan Kuminga, and he's finally reaching that, and then he gets hurt, and now he's back to this whole different scenario. I just hope we as a fan base could have some patience for Jonathan, too. Like, I don't want him to go out there and he struggles a couple games. It's like, oh, well, he's ruining all this. You know, we got to, you know, I don't think we could sign him. Let's, as we're watching with the Lakers and Luka Doncic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
He's been struggling in the first few games. And Luka, you know, he's an all-pro five times, whatever it is. All-NBA, excuse me. Let's give Jonathan Kuminga a little grace here, Nick, before we start crushing it in his fit with this team. Because this is a very, like, as far as fitting in now, being out, it's almost like, you know when you're in school and you're really sick or you had to do something or you lost someone, there's a tragedy, and you were gone a long time. And all of a sudden you come back and there's a new teacher that's teaching the class, and it's just...
What happened?
Like, whoa, I feel lost. I feel like I'm not catching up now. My routine's out of whack. Like, there's going to be an adjustment period for Jonathan. I just hope the fan base and Dub Nation can give him some grace in this, because he might be pushing a little bit, as you're saying.
I think it's a very human reaction if he does. But Spadone, what I'm curious about is, how does the fan base feel as Kuminga as a building block for the future? We know what he's done in these first couple years, and we have seen, and always the key word that pops up with Kuminga to this point, the flashes that have appeared. But do Warriors fans believe that he is the type of guy who's going to develop, improve, and become one of the key building blocks on a team that all of a sudden has hope again and has at least the mirage of a championship on its horizon, despite what Draymond said repeatedly over All-Star weekend? I just don't feel like the fan base is 100% in either direction, that Kuminga is going to be the next piece that they need, or that they're ready to give up and say, all right, let's move Kuminga in the summer, get the deal done, put him in a sign-and-trade, and get somebody who's a little bit older and a little bit more polished in here, and let's see what can happen.
It's almost funny because, in a way, you know, and I get it, his assets and what he brings to the table are different than this player, but it's almost like if it doesn't work out and you do move off of him and it's a sign and trade, or we'll see, you sign him or you don't. You know, Andrew Wiggins as a player right now could still, like, if you just imagine Andrew Wiggins with Jimmy Butler and Steph and Draymond, because Wiggins is young enough too, to you could have looked at those top four and be like, wow, you know, that's something there. Now, Miami, what were they asking for? What were the Warriors? They didn't want to give up Jonathan Kuminga. Now they wanted to keep him. He's a huge
Well, you
huge
know
piece.
They must have been asking for Kuminga prior to
Correct.
The real breakdown at the end with Jimmy in Miami.
Because, obviously, the talks got to a point where his value was just completely tanked. Pat Riley knew, Eric Spoelstra knew, we need to get something for this guy.
And get him something. Out of here.
And get him out of here. And they did that, and they settled. And they got Andrew Wiggins, who, again, nice piece. Doesn't have the future potentially of a Jonathan Kuminga, but it's a nice piece. Was the second plus player on a championship team at one point. And you know what you're going to get off the court. He's going to be a lunch pail guy. He's going to go there. He's not going to get hurt generally. He's going to be available. You know what you got there. But it almost feels like, you know, if I was adding Andrew Wiggins back to this team instead of a Jonathan Kuminga, it'd be a lot easier, because you know what Andrew Wiggins you're going to get. You're not going to get a guy that could potentially be frustrated with his role. You know what his role was going to be. I mean, just think about last year with Andrew Wiggins. And listen, people are probably tuning in and saying, is Spadoni insinuating that they should have traded Kuminga and kept Wiggins? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's levels to players and their roles and what you expect out of them going forward. And Jonathan Kuminga is a wild card in this scenario because he is so young. And because he is trying to get a contract for the first time, a big contract outside of his rookie deal. And I don't know what to expect from him going forward, because he's coming to a brand new team, basically. Brand new is strong, but Jimmy Butler is on the team. He left when he had, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton and all those guys. Now, D'Anthony Melton was out prior to that, but you get what I'm saying. I don't know what to expect from Jonathan Kuminga. I don't.
I just think this is a perfect moment to remind everybody that the Warriors have Kuminga and he continues to improve. And they got Wiggins. And who did they trade to get both of those guys, Fedone? D'Angelo Russell. And so as we're talking through this morning about roster building and where do you feel most comfortable and which team's vibes are feeling the best, it is so critical to remember that in order to give yourselves the best chances at winning these titles, of course it comes down to the stars, always the Stephs and the Draymonds, and before the injuries piled up, Clay when he was still here, and getting Kevin Durant to sign off on coming here. But it is those other moves under the radar that always, always, always make such a big difference. And that move specifically with Wiggins and the pick that became Kuminga for D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota, for the missteps that the Warriors front office have made, certainly in the draft, and James Wiseman at number two comes right to the forefront. That trade was an absolute home run for then Bob Myers and that staff.
Jonathan Kuminga, is he the team's, when he comes back here, is he the team's third best player or fourth best player? Are you ranking Draymond ahead of him in this hierarchy?
I would
still
put Draymond ahead of him, because Draymond, when he's locked in defensively, is unbelievable still. Kuminga probably has more ability to impact the game on both ends. I don't think that's in any question. But Draymond, after so many years playing at such a high level on the defensive end, can sway things at a level that Kuminga just hasn't shown to do yet.
See, I'm looking at this final stretch here, and if he can pick up where he left off, and he could push for that third spot in the hierarchy of this team. Not to say that he's going to be the leader of Draymond. Draymond, he's cemented his status with this team. He's one of the leaders of it. He's the team's best defensive player. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if Steph doesn't have it, if Jimmy, the shots aren't falling, I could lean on Jonathan Kuminga. And if he could be that guy going forward, I think, yeah, you could absolutely be talking about Western Conference Finals for this team, because if he could continue what he did prior to the injury and that trajectory he was on, see, that's why I'm thinking, we're looking at this in the way of, like, oh, we're adding like a sixth man, we're adding like a fourth guy. But if you look at it in this lens, and I was listening to the crosstalk yesterday with Steiny, Goo, Willard, and Dibbs. They're talking about, you know, duos or trios in the league right now, or who are you taking over Steph, Dre, and Jimmy right now? What, like, how many trios or duos are you taking over just Steph and Jimmy as well? I was like, well, what if I said it was, you know, Steph, Jimmy, and Kuminga? Like, how if we viewed it about that? Because I do think we're shortchanging his abilities offensively a little bit here and what he can give, because I know Draymond as a playmaker is great, but I've seen Kuminga with the best of him drive to the hoop, get to the foul line, the three-point shot's going, the mid-range is going. Like, there's a potential here, again, that word potential, this could be special with those top three guys if Kuminga turns into the player that many think he could be, Nick.
Spadone, if Kuminga turns into that player, two things will absolutely happen. One, the window and ceiling for this team become a lot wider and a lot higher, and you start to think more seriously about, all right, is there one more legit push within them? Number two, if Jonathan Kuminga over the next 2 months of the regular season and however long they were to go in the playoffs becomes the third guy on this team, he's going to get paid exactly what he wants. There's not going to be a fight going back and forth between player and organization saying, I don't know, why don't you go try to find that somewhere else and bring it back to us. If he takes that kind of step, the Warriors are in great shape, and so is Kuminga from a financial standpoint.
888-957-9570. Dub fans, where are we at with Jonathan Kuminga? What are your expectations of Jonathan Kuminga when he does rejoin this team with Jimmy Butler, that new addition? How is he going to fit in there? Are you expecting Steve Kerr to slowly integrate him back? Is he going to be coming off the bench? Probably. There's so many different angles with the Jonathan Kuminga discussion. I would love to hear Dub Nation's thoughts. 888-957-9570. As we're talking about vibes this morning, doing vibe checks and all the teams, how are we feeling about the Niners? Well, we're a little down on theirs. We're feeling great about the Warriors. And, you know, we actually asked the question early on in the week about, you know, Steph winning his fifth in comparison to, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. If they want their quest for six, right? Their sixth Lombardi. I was like, oh, give me Steph's fifth. Absolutely. And if Jonathan Kuminga is a part of that and he helps Steph get his fifth ring, oh, yeah, that guy's getting paid. Oh, not, yeah. Maybe not this year or next year, but he's going to be also not getting paid. He's going to be getting legend status, because not only do you have a building block for now, Nick Friedell, for the he's 22. He's 22. He could be doing this for the next decade for the organization. That's why I'm so hesitant on moving off a guy like that, because the tantalizing aspect of his play. And quite frankly, there's not another young guy on this team right now where I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a huge building block for the future. Like, I like Moses Moody. He's a solid piece. I like Brandon Podziemski. Solid piece. Trace Jackson Davis at times. Solid. Quentin Post for a cup of coffee. Guy Santos. Great. But Jonathan Kuminga's the guy where it's like, if this guy hits, we hit on something for the next decade plus. And that sells me on the future past Steph. And that's why I'm going to be locked in going forward with this team, not being like the Chicago Bulls post-Jordan, right?
Spadone, if Kuminga hits to the star level that the Warriors hope he can, he is the only one of that group who has that possibility within him. Yeah. I think you laid it out really nicely. You have a bunch of young players who could be key pieces. Kuminga could be one of the pieces, and that is such a huge difference as you're trying to retool on the fly with Steph still being the Steph level that he's at.
We're up against it. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Safeway. More of your calls, more of your texts. Jonathan Kuminga, his return is imminent. The Warriors, they're back in action tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings. We're breaking it all down right here on the Morning Roast with Spadone and Friedell on 95.7 The Game.
Jonathan Kuminga. Man, I'm a roaster. This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Now, we'll remember that one, Oreo, not the one you tried to do yesterday on our airwaves. Spadone and Friedell, the Morning Roast. Nick Friedell in for Joe Shasta this week.
Oreo.
Yeah, if you missed it, Oreo Cookie tried to do a new rhyme. Something he tried to do. Yeah, we posted on our social at Morning Roast 957 if you want to check that out. He kept saying the word click. for some reason. Click. Yeah, that's what he kept going with. He was going full Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, the click commander, if you will. Those that know, know. We'll get to Dave in Fresno here in a second. By the way, I had a reference earlier when we were mentioning Sweden, because Sweden was part of the Four Nations face-off, along with Finland and Canada and USA are obviously playing tonight in the championship matchup for the NHL. But, you know, I had the reference, Nick, that my bum is on the Swedish, and you got it immediately. And Sam just looked at me like, what did you just say? And then I asked Evan, I told him, I was like, my bum is on the Swedish. Evan's like, huh? What?
Oh, boy.
You got it immediately. Tom Green. My bum is everywhere, right? Like, he was on TRL all the time. He made it as a joke to get on TRL and get voted number one all those weeks in a row. Again, throwback, Total Request Live, MTV. We're going way back here. But, like, those guys are the same age as me, and they didn't get it. I was like, come on. No, you guys don't remember that?
Spadone, the longer I have been in the studio this week, the more I'm feeling like David West on the end of those Warriors titles teams. Like the vet who is looking for that ring at the end, who is learning from all these younger guys, all this different stuff, trying to pass out some life lessons along the way. But when you were like, oh yeah, you got that one, I'm like, yes. The idea that nobody else would pick that up is just...
Yeah,
way over my head there.
Well, exactly, right? And we're talking about, you know, the old guys. Now, you mentioned David West. Now Steph's the old guy. Now Draymond and Jimmy are the old guys. And now this young guy, Jonathan Kuminga's coming back. And expectations there, right? And speaking of Steph Curry real quick, and we're going to get to Dave in Fresno. I'll get to you in a second, Dave, because he has some thoughts on Steph Curry. Brian Geltziler, we played one of his clips earlier. Check this out. Geltzy blaming one Steph Curry for how All-Star Game weekend...
You don't
weekend.
Hear that sentence really ever pop up much
no,
at all.
Never.
Somebody blaming Steph for anything.
Anything, right? Well, here's Geltziler on yesterday, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, talking about the bad look for Steph Curry over the weekend.
I don't think it was a good look for Steph Curry with the All-Star Game at the Chase Center in San Francisco to be sitting there courtside while Draymond Green, Moses Moody, and Buddy Hield represented the organization. And I know he had other corporate commitments and all that. He was there. Put on a uniform and take some shots. I know it was supposed to be a shooting contest between him and Sabrina Ionescu. I know that was canceled at the last minute. You know what? Put on a cape and come out and shoot three-pointers with everybody like they want to see you do. At one point or another, okay, can we stop making excuses for players? And I know Curry's accolades for what he's gotten, MVPs in the All-Star game, three-point shooting contest wins, all of that stuff. It doesn't substitute for competitive fire in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Wow. You agreeing with Geltzy there, Nick, that it was just not a good look for Curry over the weekend, not participating?
I was shocked that they didn't have him out there
right.
for something. And that's why, to me, Spadone, it's not just on Steph, it's on the league. I could not figure 2 days before, whenever that news came down, oh, well, Steph and Sabrina Ionescu aren't going to do the same kind of shooting contest. And I know they tried to get Caitlin Clark, as they should have, because she has so much power and sway day to day now in the basketball world. But I wouldn't have pushed it to the point that Brian did there. Where I would tend to agree with him on is Steph is the face of this All-Star weekend. Steph is the face of basketball out in the Bay, always will be. You have the marquee event, what's turned into it, that three-point contest, and the fact that Steph wasn't in it and it was Buddy Hield. Yeah, I was kind of like, what is this? So Steph's done a million different good things. This is not something that people are going to remember forever. But, yeah, I was in the group that went, I'm texting my friends that are out there in the moment. I'm like, where the hell is Steph? Why didn't the league get him to do something? Even if he says, I don't want to do the three-point contest.
I mean, he won the All-Star Game MVP. Isn't that something? Isn't like the award of the weekend? And it was his home court. Like, he played in that. Like, LeBron didn't play in it. Steph did. He's home. Like, I get it if he didn't play in the All-Star Game. It's like, okay, like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, if he wasn't that hurt. Like, sure, but because he didn't participate in the three-point contest, he's already won that before. Yeah. Like, and I get it, it's here.
And that's why I don't think it was so much have him in the three-point contest. It was the idea that he wasn't out there doing something. Yeah. Create some kind of something for Steph Curry to shoot from distance, because that is what draws people in and always will.
Well, as we're learning here over the weekend, that the NBA, the product and what they put out there for All-Star Weekend was more on the NBA and TNT and that whole conglomerate. That was the problem. It wasn't because Stephen Curry didn't take part in three-point contests. Put your stars in positions to succeed, right? This goes back to coaching, right? Put your players and your star products in positions to succeed. That's why we love what the NFL always does. Well, hell, even Major League Baseball to an extent. Like, you got to put Steph in a position where he's not, you know, he's not LeBron. He's not Kevin Durant. Steph is his own personality. He's his own guy. And yeah, I agree with Brian that he should have been a bigger star this weekend, but that's not on him. That's on the league to put him in a position to succeed. Dave is in Fresno. He wants to join in the conversation in regards to Steph Curry and the Warriors' season. What's up, Dave? You're on with Spadoni and Friedel.
Good morning, fellas. I think the conversation with the Warriors, I think fans are they're anxious this year because we all see Steph Curry. The year they're counting down, so it's coming to an end. So I think, yeah, the move to get Jimmy Butler, it was something that needed to be done. They had to do something because I believe Steph is the most beloved Bay Area sports star ever. The totality of what he meant to this area, to that team, to the league. So we as Warriors fans and Steph fans, we just want to see him go out on top one more time, because that's how much support he has from the fan base. That's why there was trade talk. That's why there's constant call. That's why there's daily conversation of, you know, that hunger to win at least one more. And I think, Spadoni, I think you brought up a great little point the other day where I think some would take a championship for Steph over a 30-year drought Super Bowl for the 49ers at the Bay Area. You know, so yeah, I just think that he's just been so perfect. Like, there's nothing wrong you can say about him on and off the court. He just means so much to a whole lot of people. So yeah, that's why we were clamping for KD, Jimmy, something, because we cannot see him go out like this. You know, where he's playing for playing games. Like, no, we want to see him one more time. You know, get a chance to compete for a championship, because he's earned it and he's going to be beloved forever. So that, I think that's what's really got everybody, like, really, you know, passionate about, you know, the whole Warrior talk. So whether it's Kuminga coming through, we don't care who comes through. We just need a win for Steph, and that's what it all comes down to.
That's Dave in Fresno, and I think Dave speaks for a lot of people and a lot of Warriors fans here, Nick, and we can throw that question out there again. Dave brought it up. It's not even close for me what the Bay Area fan wants. It's a Stephen Curry fifth ring. Steph Curry gets number five. He has solidified himself as a top five player in the history of the sport and the greatest point guard in the history of the sport. He would tie Magic Johnson for rings. I think he'd be better than Magic Johnson. I think a lot of people would view him, especially if he gets this ring at 37. He's going to be 37 here in less than a month. Like, yeah, give me that fifth right now over a next Lombardi for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't even think it's close. 888-957-9570. If you could pick one, what would you pick? Would you pick another World Series trophy for the San Francisco Giants? Would you pick a sixth Lombardi for the San Francisco 49ers? Or would you pick a fifth ring for Stephen Curry? 888-957-9570. Joe is out in Burbank, Nick. He wants to join in this Stephen Curry All-Star Game talk as well. What's up, Joe? You're on with Spadoni and Friedel.
Yeah, good morning. Let me turn the radio down.
Alexa. Lower volume.
I just, you know, on the criticism, first of all, good morning, guys. Always love the show. You guys do a great job. Just great stuff. But on the criticism for Steph Curry, I think, you know, first of all, they just assume that he just doesn't want to participate in the different additional or more categories in the All-Star game. But what they may not realize is I think Steph was trying to balance recuperating with the bad knees and even the thumb that he had problems with. So maybe he said, look, I'll participate to a degree, but I need to try to reduce it or restrict it so I can kind of get a little bit of rest. So, I, you know, So I think really that's more the case than just him not being interested. I think that he did what he could, and he just didn't want to overdo it. I think the criticism is unjust.
Hey, Joe, you a big fan of Alexa? I heard you turned the radio to turn the radio off via Alexa.
Okay, let me turn the radio off.
No, Joe, I'm asking. That's what you're a big Alexa user. That's great. You need to download the Odyssey app, though, as well, because you can take that wherever you need to go, so you don't have to worry about Alexa. I appreciate you calling in, Joe. I didn't want to startle him there, but that's the first thing you say. I need to turn my radio down. Hey, Alexa!
Alexa!
Turn the radio down! It's so good.
Alexa, I need a call to defend my man Steph.
Right! It's so good.
Oh,
Siri, Alexa, or do you use anything? Like, I don't use them at all.
Because it freaked me out. All those stories that came out that the thing is always listening to you.
Well, they are. The phones are in general are always listening.
Well, that's very true. I look down at my Instagram sometimes and I'm like, how did they know all of it? Mm-hmm. And it's because it's always paying attention.
Always.
But Spadone, as far as the Steph stuff, Ryan Geltinger can say what he wants. I don't think anybody is full on criticizing Steph. It's more the optics, sure, as it always is with the NBA. Steph Curry has earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants. What is fascinating to me about people saying he should have been out there Saturday, and people saying, oh, well, we really want the fifth ring, and we want to make sure that Steph goes out with a bang. It's the same conversation from 3 years ago. It is the exact same thing every time with Steph, in that it was then he needs to win a finals MVP. He hasn't proven he can be the guy in the finals to lead everything that he needs from the Warriors, so that they can get the fourth ring. Then he got that, and it was kind of like, what else is anybody going to say? So that's where I pump the brakes when I hear Warriors fans say, oh, well, we want him to win one more. That would really solidify his place in everything that he needs in NBA history. I'm here to tell you that place is solidified. Now, as you mentioned, he's just playing for a different place on the hierarchy of all-time point guards, all-time players. But as far as legacy is concerned, and so much of it always for NBA players is, what is my legacy going to be viewed as? How do people look at me in the years to come? Steph Curry's legacy, if he walked away today, never played again, never put up another three, it is set in stone. He's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and he has forever changed the way the game will be viewed out here in the Bay Area.
888-957-9570. Stephen Curry, man. This guy, we were weeks away. We were a couple weeks ago, we were away from, it's over. It's done. And then they make this trade for Jimmy Butler and this new hope, this new breath of fresh air that they've received here, the Dub Nation. They're believing again. Now, is it going to be a We Believe Part 2 run? Again, I don't know about that.
We Believe with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Jimmy at this stage.
I agree. It's also, We Believe is also tough because the expectations were just non-existent on that We Believe team. Like, they didn't have a player of Stephen Curry's caliber or of a Jimmy Butler's caliber on those teams.
But no, as the stories have come out through the years, especially with Steven Jackson and Nelly, the idea was, hey, let's win some games and go smoke some weed.
Right.
I mean, that was the We Believe team was,
not bad.
Let's go win and let's go have a party somewhere.
Right. More like Weed Believe.
Not bad. That's a four actually right there on Thursday.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But the fact is, Steph has done for the Warriors every bit that he can do if he were to leave right now.
Which is why getting him his fifth ring is so damn important. Get him his fifth. That is Bay Area fan number one right now. If you disagree, if you're saying, I'd actually rather see Brock Purdy get his. Really? I see Kyle Shanahan. You know who really needs one right now instead of Stephen Curry? It's Kyle Shanahan. Really? No, Steph is the guy. He's always the guy. It's crazy to say this because in the history of the Bay Area, Nick, and you know your Bay Area sports history very well, you know all these different markets, but in the Bay Area, there is so much history here when it comes to the greatest of all time. Forever, it was Joe Montana, right? He was the GOAT. And then Tom Brady came along, he pushed him over, and we'll see if Patrick Mahomes takes that number two spot. But it was Joe Montana. It still is Jerry Rice for a lot of people. Barry Bonds didn't win one, didn't win a championship, but what he did in the San Francisco Giants uniform, a little different because he was a Pirate early on, but he's a Bay Area guy, so he felt like he was always our guy, right, if mm-hmm. you're a San Francisco Giants fan. You look at Willie Mays, right? We'll go down probably for most people either top five or number one. If it's not Willie Mays, it's Babe Ruth for a lot of people. Or again, Barry Bonds for some people, but there's all the, you know, cream of the clear, all that with standing. I say all that to say this. In the greatest of the greats of all sports here, Steph Curry still stands alone as the guy for a lot of people. And they don't want to give up that hope that he can win another one. And I get that. You want to cling. And I thought it was very interesting when Steph over the weekend was talking about, you know, I don't want my career to end like it happened with Kobe in Los Angeles. Like, and I do think I need to urge, like when everyone speaks, says, oh, it's going to end like Kobe. It's like, Kobe tore his Achilles. Like that was it. I mean, he was in his mid-30s, torn Achilles. It's over at that point. It's over for most people, and especially Kobe at that age, given all the talent around him or lack thereof. Like Steph doesn't have, knock on wood, that injury in his repertoire, and he's still playing at such a high level that people, and again, going back to Paris, people are like, God, I see it. I see it. If you just give him a shot, if you just give me some meaningful games, maybe, just maybe, we could capture the magic of a couple seasons ago. Is it likely? I don't know. Like, probably not. But I can't knock a fan base right now for getting excited again, and I'm not gonna tell them that this team can't do something special this year. Winning a title, it's going to be very difficult, very tough. But man, if we've said it all week, if you get Stephen Curry in a series, that strikes tremendous fear in the opposing fan base, the opposing players, and that opposing coaching staff. A series is different, though, than a play-in. Get to that sixth spot. It could be doable.
I think it is doable, but it would have to be such an improvement from what we've seen, Spadone, because all year with this Warriors team, what have we seen? We've seen a mediocre group that can never string together enough solid play. When you watch Steph, though, what I'm curious about as people that live and breathe the Bay Area sporting scene on a daily basis, has Steph Curry elevated himself to being the guy forever and ever when you think of Bay Area sports? Because for so long, and you just kind of went through the key figures, but it was Montana and Rice. When you talk about San Francisco, when you talk about the Bay Area and all of the greats who have come through here, has Steph risen to the level where if you were to pick that one player, I'll give you the example, Chicago, immediately Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Your football fans will say, okay, Walter Payton, maybe he's two. But the first person, you go all across the world and you think, it's Michael. Are we to a point now in the Bay where you think the first athlete that comes to mind because of all the success that they have had is Stephen Curry?
I think of this guy and Steph the way Chicagoans feel like Michael Jordan. That's a great comp. Like, that's it, right? Like, so MJ getting his sixth, going on that three-peat, nothing's ever going to, like, I have a very, you know, this feeling where it all ends here in Golden State, and we were approaching it, Nick. If they didn't do anything and they didn't bring in Jimmy Butler, we were approaching potentially kind of like that Bulls iteration after Jordan, where it's just like, I don't know, like, is it going to be the destination? You're always going to have that shadow of Stephen Curry to live up to. It's going to be very different. Now, ownership goes a long way. Joe Lacob was an owner, as far as I'm concerned, over Jerry Reinsdorf all day, twice on Sunday. It's not even close. Not even close, Nick.
And
you know Joe, right? Like, come on. Like, it's not even close.
And I know the Reinsdorfs.
Exactly, right. You know both. You know both parties. So it's not even close. But to your point, like, how many markets can you say that right now? Like, how many other players in their given markets mean more than Stephen Curry? Like, give me one right now. I don't think there is one.
Well, it's way more than LeBron in L.A. because LeBron has only been in L.A. for a small amount of time. The beauty of Steph's career and the way he's developed as a player out here is that he's been out here the whole way.
Right.
It was in Oakland for all those years. Now it's in San Francisco. He said, this is where I want to not only be remembered, but this is where I have the roots now. It started in Charlotte where he grew up, but now it is the Bay. And that's why, as I've been lucky enough to travel, and we were talking about it earlier in the show, when you tell people that you lived out in the Bay Area, that you lived in Oakland, San Francisco, the universal unifying theme always seems to be sports. And when I mention San Francisco now, the person that pops up in the conversation generally first above anybody else is Stephen Curry.
Mm.
And that's why, to me, and I might be too close to it because I covered those teams. I've gotten to know Steph through the years. I appreciate what he has done for the game and certainly for the organization here. But I just think as we go through All-Star Weekend and we hear a little of the criticism, oh, he should have done a little bit more, he should have done this or that, Steph Curry is on a level now, Spadone, where you think of San Francisco and Oakland and the region as a whole and the name that unifies that region with the rest of the world is the guy that shoots the long-range shot better than anyone we've ever seen, and the guy, more importantly, who carries himself the way he does off the floor as well.
It's the only other comp I could think of, and this guy doesn't even play for that team anymore, so it's not even there, but it'd be, you know, Lionel Messi with Barcelona. Like that's the level we're talking about right now. Like, I get it. Alexander Ovechkin with the Washington Capitals. Again, hockey's a little different. It's hard. You know, Ovechkin means he is their franchise, right? And he's trying to chase the Gretzky's record, all-time goals scored. But even then, I was like, no, Ovechkin is not what Steph is here into this region. He's just not.
The only guy I think right now who would be on that Steph level, although Steph has the years on him in the pedigree championship-wise, is Patrick
Mahomes.
Because when you think of Kansas City, you think of the Chiefs and the Super Bowls. Who's the face of that team? Who will be the face of that team forever and ever? Patrick Mahomes. And it's interesting, Spadone, because I've heard Steph mention Mahomes now in some press conferences through time. And I think there's always a respect between those two guys, especially because they know what it means to be in one place and be the face of a whole state, a whole area, a whole, in this case, in the Bay, a region. Those two guys know what that mantle feels like, and I think that's why they appreciate what each other has been able to accomplish so much more.
You got one, Carter? Who's on that Steph Curry level right now at their franchise?
This is looking at it from a totally different aspect.
It's all right. Keep going. No, it's all right. Sam's in the background. Keep going, Carter. I can hear him.
This is looking at it from a totally different aspect, but I was thinking in terms of meaning something to a franchise that Wemby could be up there just because you're looking at he's the promise of getting San Antonio back to where they used to be. On top of that, San Antonio is a town that only has the Spurs to look forward to. So,
sure, but also, I just saw, and again, it's a different comp because I just saw Luka Doncic get traded, so maybe I'm just being more cynical here. I was like, yeah, well, Wemby can get traded in a couple of years. Like, you're not trading Stephen Curry is what I'm getting at. Like, there could be, like, to your point, yes, they love Wemby right now. He's only been there a year and a half. The future is part of that. But when I say Steph Curry, that is a level of, he is ingrained not only in the team and to the fan base, but the region. Is Wemby ingrained in? Is he part of San Antonio culture at this point?
He's looking to be potentially the greatest defensive player ever. Correct.
Looking to be.
Carter, I see where you're going because I think Wemby is literally the only guy I can think of that younger group who just would not be moved. That one, that'd be way worse than Luka. People would just
way worse.
Be losing their minds like you traded the dude who's 7'5", who's
the alien.
Incredible defender who can shoot it from all over. I think he could get there, but it would take another 10, 15 years or so. What always made Steph so special, and again, this goes back to the Mahomes comparison, is that Steph only ever talked about how much he wanted to stay in one place.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as NBA players go, there's only one other guy that I could put on that level now, and it's Giannis. Because Giannis has a global following. He's from Greece. He was drafted by the Bucks. He's been developed in an organization that has catered to him at every turn and believed that he could be that guy. Giannis, when you go through any part of the world and you say Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the first thing they're going to mention is Giannis Antetokounmpo. When you go anywhere now in San, and you tell them San Francisco, Oakland, sure, there might be some people who say Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. But again, if
college holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.